Spirit is moving in our Sunday morning worship when you realize coming around on that last chorus, I'm preaching next. I forgot. So we'll just pray for the Lord's guiding and wisdom as always in the opening of His Word, and we'll just see what He has for us. Today is the fourth month in our spiritual discipline campaign. We've been looking through over the first of every month into different disciplines that we can practice in our lives just to help grow us closer to God. Can anyone remember some of the ones that we've looked for through up to this point? You can just shout them out. Worship, there's one. Two more. Simplicity. Yep, that was the one that my wife came home and told me, you need to listen to that. No, I'm just kidding, but she did. And finally, the third one that we've done. Prayer, absolutely. And each one of these disciplines that we've been exploring furthermore and furthermore have been to help us learn in a deeper way who God is, to connect to Him in a way that maybe we aren't routinely used to put us in an environment where we have the opportunity to just meet Him with someone else, giving us a guided tour of a new way in which we can connect to God. As we dive into today, we dive into meditation. Now I'm going to put a little disclaimer and an apology right off the bat. A number of months ago, this would have been, I think back in the fall, we sat down as a staff and tried to pick out what month would be a good month for each of the spiritual disciplines. And on the whiteboard, as I was writing, I wrote the word mediation instead of meditation. There's just a T difference. But although mediation is a gifting, that is not the spiritual gifting that we are going to talk about today. And as I've been working through my sermon and preparing it, on several occasions, and by several, more than I'd like to admit, I have said the word mediation instead of meditation. So I'm just going to ask you that if you hear that, just make that little mental switch in your mind, and hopefully the Lord will knock that bad habit out of my mind. So as we dive into this spiritual discipline of meditation, we consider that the point of it is to withdraw us, to first withdraw us from everything that is around us. Each of these spiritual disciplines that we've gone through is focused on the idea of taking us out of a certain context and placing us in a certain moment. And as we're working through meditation this morning, and as we're working at withdrawing from everything that we know is going on in our routines and our to-do lists and the bills that need to be paid and how we're going to make this family weekend work down the road, we're working at just forgetting everything that's not going on in this moment. We're working at releasing it to the best of our ability. And as you empty a cup, you have space to fill it. As you empty yourself from the distractions that you have, it provides an opportunity to then draw you closer back to God, to then fill you up with something else, having released something previously. Now, once again, we'd like to mention that these spiritual disciplines are exercises to help give us a new setting and a new atmosphere, a new environment, a new moment. These things do not make us holy. They do not fix us in a way that we were broken before. These disciplines are not things that we do that redeem us in any way. They are not things that help us get better at following Jesus. Because we did it, we then equally get to take something back from God. These are not things that make us better people, but they're practices like exercises meant to work muscles of who you are in your mind and your relationship with God, to make you stronger than you were, to make you more capable than you were before. Meditation is a discipline that we can discuss, that we can learn about. We can talk about common practices this morning. But to a degree, it's kind of like riding a bike. Although I can explain to you that when you ride a bike, you got to sit in balance, and it's good to keep your weight forward, and as you pedal, the more momentum you get will help keep you straight. But just by reading about learning how to ride a bike, you can't ride a bike. And in that sense, as we go through this morning, there are going to be things that I'm going to say that you may latch onto and be like, that would work really well for me. And there are going to be things that maybe you hear that you think, I could never see myself doing that, or I could never really understand how that would bring me personally closer to God. And in that sense, you're going to hear different things, and some will be more valuable for you, and some is just going to be exposing you to something maybe you were unfamiliar with before. But as we work at this concept of meditation, we understand that the whole point, to boil it down to one simple goal, it would be to hear God's word and to obey it. Meditation, when we say that word, we get, I'm sure some of us, a certain image in our mind of someone probably sitting in workout clothes for a gym, sitting cross-legged, one legged over the other, with their thumb and middle finger connected, resting on each knee, chanting a very monotone chant. But meditation is an active process. Although we have a certain picture in our mind, although culture tells us a certain image of meditation, we as Christians need to reclaim that word and to redefine it for ourselves. We need to reclaim the concept and put it into a setting of what it looks like within our lives. Since we as Christians are salt and light in the world, a lot of what we say and do and the way in which we think is different than how culture shows us around us. And in that sense, if any of you do have that image of sitting there with your legs crossed, thumbs and fingers interlaced, I'm going to encourage you, do your best to let that go entirely. Because what we are going to learn about today is so much more active and so much more participatory than the concept of releasing our thoughts to float through the universe. As I mentioned before, meditation is active. It's involved. There is a huge level of There's a huge level of engagement and focus that it takes. It's not about releasing to emptiness. It's not just about clearing our mind to make space and to appreciate the space that's there, like media, television, and culture would tell us. But it's focused on attachment. As we meditate, we need to focus on attaching our focus and attention to God, to seek through an obedience in faithfulness what would God have to say for us. Meditation requires a large amount of listening. As we chatted, or as we focused on prayer in the past, we've come to a very wholeheartedly grasp in our lives that prayer is conversational. That as we pray with God, we speak, we share, and we give opportunity to listen back and to receive through conversation. Whereas meditation is much more reflective in its approach. It's focused much more on receiving and listening to hear what the Lord would have to say. So as we consider this, we need to go through the who, what, where, when, how, whys of meditation. As we know that this is a discipline that can aid us in our relationship with God, we know that it's something that's not ever going to just happen. There are very, very few things that any of us have ever come across in life that have just naturally come about because we thought it would be nice if. If there's something that we'd like to achieve or to have in our life, it takes effort, contribution, and work on our end. If you'd like to get to that ideal weight or get to those pants that you used to fit in, sitting there having positive thoughts about it, it's not going to get you there. There's a level of work and a level of motivation that it takes. And in that sense, with meditation, it's something that we need to build space for. We need to be active in seeking an opportunity to do it. Because once again, if we don't provide space for it, then it's not going to happen. One of the things that I try to do very regularly in my calendar is sit down and look at the blank slates and say, where is date night going to be? Where can we dump the kids off on the in-laws and get out of the house and just have some us time? Because if we don't book it, it's never going to happen. And in that way, we need to prepare time in our lives. We need to look at our calendars, whether it's before work in the morning, whether it's after the kids go to bed, hopefully not driving. But we need to find a moment in our own schedule where there is space. And if there isn't space, we need to make it. Because it won't happen on its own. And for each one of you, that would be very different. There are some of you who are morning people, who you can wake up first thing in the morning, and you are fresh and sharp and ready. I am not so much a morning person. To do that in the morning would be more distracting and less productive than it would be to spend time later on in the evening. I tend to really get my most thought-working processes, when I'm most active intellectually, probably between the hours of 11 to 3 in the afternoon. I can get three times as much stuff done in that time frame as any other, because that's when it works for me. And each one of you needs to spend a few moments just thinking. When and where? Because where is the second most important part. There are certain spiritual disciplines that work really well in certain places. Prayer. I know a lot of people who spend their time driving. And while they drive, they spend time praying. Because it's a place where they can remove a lot of distractions. Driving would not be a great opportunity to practice simplicity. One of my favorite places in terms of spending time to connect with God is not necessarily any one place geographically, but it's where I have the least amount of distractions. To head down to the basement that I built last fall, because there is no electronics within that basement. There's nothing to distract me. I can leave my phone on the upper floor and go down there, and the whole world has been shut off except for that room. You might have a favorite chair in your house. You might have a desk in a study. It might be the kitchen table. It might be for you while you're parked in your car before you head home after work. Wherever it might be, we need to find a place where we can remove the call that our lives have on us. Where we can remove the demanding voices that are crying out for our attention, focus, and for us to fix things. We need to find a place where there is quiet. Now, as we've made this time, as we've figured out when it is for ourselves in a day, in a week, where we know we can be free from distractions, and we found that place where we know that it will be harder for us to lose focus and lose attention from what we're going to do, we need to bring something to the table as we meditate. As we focus on this concept of meeting the Lord to hear and listen from Him, we need to bring with us something that He can speak through. We need to bring with us something to give Him the opportunity to maybe inspire us with. Now, this could be any number of different things. This could be as simple as a passage of Scripture. This could be just the name of someone in your life who you want to lift up the Lord. And it could just be that name written on a piece of paper. It could be a figure from the Bible. Someone who had a relationship with God that maybe you know little about or you know lots about. It could be a poem. It could be a psalm or a modern music piece. It could be a story. It could be a fictional story. Or it could be a story of something that the Lord has actually done in this world. And there's nothing wrong with taking fiction in to reflect over in our time with God. One of the most impactful stories that has ever struck me when thinking about the concept of who Jesus is and how He died for us was a fictional story. I was at camp when I was a kid, and they told the story of how two brothers went out to play on the beaches after a hurricane, and the sand would shift between the dunes quite rapidly in some of these places. So the two boys went out to play, even though they were told not to go down there, and past dinner, later into the night, the parents realized these kids still haven't shown up, so they went looking for these kids. And they found one of the boys completely buried up to his neck in the sand. And he was coughing and sputtering and just trying to like blow the sand away so he could even breathe. So they dug him out and he's coughing and sputtering and they said, "Where is your brother? We can't find him." And the boy looked up with tears in his eyes and said, "I was standing on his shoulders." And as they told us this story at camp as a kid, they meant to draw us into an understanding of who God was and what he had done, lifting us up out of the sin and punishment that was due to us to give us a greater new life. I highly doubt that story ever happened. I think it was something that someone had written up in an opportunity where the Lord had given them some inspiration creatively. But once again, we can use the inspiration that the Lord has given people to help inspire us. And in that sense, we can take these things into these moments to sit and ponder over whatever it is, the poetry, the history, the story, the trait of who God is. And as we find ourselves in the space that we have created, we find ourselves free from distractions with something in front of us that's tangible that we have brought into that moment. We spend time thinking about it, rereading it, focusing upon it, trying to think, what does that mean for me? What does that mean about God? What does that mean about who he is and how much he loves me? The concept of meditation is meant to draw us into a moment with the Lord, to draw us closer towards him, and to provide him something that he can speak to us through. And in that sense, meditation can be one of the most, different experiences every time for you, depending on what you prepare to bring into that moment with God. So the question then comes, what happens to us in this moment of meditation? What do we seek to gain from it? And Scripture actually tells us what we can gain through meditation. Jesus says, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you." And as we provide God a moment to speak into our lives, to speak without making him compete with all the things that demand our focus and attention, we gain peace. We gain appreciation for who he is. We gain a moment in which we can learn something new, where the Spirit can move in our lives to bring new truths to the surface. And that might be new truths about something you didn't realize about who God is, and it might be new truths about your relationship and the things that maybe you're not doing well. Maybe the things that you are doing well. And all of this provides God a context and a medium to speak through. If you give God a moment to speak, he will speak. He is an active Lord who has something for us in our lives, who has something and is ready and passionate to share that with us. And in that sense, learn what works for you. Maybe it is Scripture. Maybe it is a character or someone in your life. Maybe it is poetry or a story. Or maybe it's just a truth of who God is. and bring this to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord and open that time in prayer and say, Lord, I give you this moment. And I'm ready to listen to you. So, what better thing to do when you're preaching about something than to take a moment to do it? So we're going to spend the next 1 or 2 minutes here doing a very, very basic exercise of meditation. And I hope some of you are thinking, oh no. I hope some of you are a little uncomfortable with that. Because this is a very, very simple exercise that'll just show you how normal the practice of meditation is. This will be a little exercise maybe to show you how often you've actually done it before without realizing you are doing it. So, before we begin, I would like everyone to, whether it's on your lap, whether you'd like to hold them out in front of you, put your hands out in front of you and with your palms facing down. You can just rest them on your knees, or if you'd like to be a little more active, you can hold those right above your knees. And I'd like you to just bow your heads and close your eyes as I lead us through this exercise. Father God, in this moment, we let go. We let go of everything that we have. We let go of our fears. We let go of our worries. Lord God, in this moment, we pray that you close down this room. That you block out anything from entering here except your spirit. Allow all distractions to fall away from us. Allow any thought that is not focused on you to just rest aside. In this moment, we give to you everything. As you sit here with your hands outright, spend a moment and think about what you need to let go of. What you are trying to hold on control to. And let's spend a moment and just give those to the Lord. Lord, you have control over all things, and all things we give to you. As you continue to keep your head bowed, turn your hands upwards. Turn your palms towards the ceiling. Lord, we are ready to receive from you. And in this moment, we know that we can shout for joy to you, to sing glory to your name, to make your glorious presence known. Lord God, we say, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name and make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, and so great is your power. As I read that one more time, just ask God to show you something new. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. And make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, and so great is your power. Father God, we pray that you inspire us each. And just show us where the space is for us. Lord, thank you for this moment. In your name we pray. Amen. So what we've done there is what we call the palms up and down exercise. This is something that I learned in my first year of Bible college. A very simple exercise to help us do two things. To free us from distractions, to give our worries to God, and to prepare to receive something new for Him. That scripture passage that we focused on and that I read a few times there was Psalms chapter 66. You could interchange that scripture passage with many different things. If the concept of meditation is you, I encourage you to take that palms down, release what you're worried about to the Lord, and palms up, receive something new from Him. And just to read through something new, to read through a passage, or whether it's just to spend time in God's presence. Because the Christian practice of meditation has to do with filling. It has to do with focusing. We, as followers of Jesus, are kind of like cups with little small holes in them. God fills us with the Spirit, and it trickles out in our lives. Those cups are constantly emptying, and in that sense, we need to give ourselves something to refill those. And in our personal devotion time, in our time of setting aside a moment to listen to God, we need to put something into that moment. We need to bring something to allow Him to speak through. And the biblical model for meditation is everywhere. All over the place. In your handout this morning, I mentioned just a few of a number of different individuals who practiced meditation in some way, shape, or form. Eli helped Samuel in the temple when he was really young understand the concept of meditation. As Samuel came to Eli thinking he was the one who was calling him, he immediately told him, "Go sit by yourself. Just get away from me and go and wait and listen for what the Lord is saying." Elijah spent days and nights in the wilderness seeking to learn to hear the still small voice of God. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and heard His voice. And he didn't see that as he was necessarily walking down the street. Oh, there's the Lord high and lifted up. This was a moment of clarity that was given to him in setting aside time for God. Jeremiah discovered the Word of God to be like a burning fire in his bones. That didn't happen the first time he read it. That didn't happen the first time that he sat down and focused on it. Over years in his life, constantly diving in and exploring the Word of God, that's what it became like to him. Through constantly meeting the Lord and reflecting and focusing on His Word. And Jesus constantly abandoned the disciples to withdraw Himself, to spend time seeking and listening to the Lord. For each one of us, this practice of meditation is going to look entirely different. It'll be at different times of the day, different places. We'll be focusing on different things. You may use little exercises like palms up, palms down, or you may just come in with one word on a piece of paper. And part of the discovery is going to be trying different things and learning, this worked well for me. And there are going to be times when you walk in to this experience and come out on the other side saying, I just didn't get it. Because the Lord has wired each one of us differently and equipped us to hear from Him. And in that sense, there's going to be personal discovery to learn which ways do you best hear through the Lord and what does He best speak through you with. Consistency is going to make this really stick. It's going to take us to that next level. Just like when you exercise, when you decide, I'm going to get into those pair of pants from a few years ago. You can't just work really hard for a day and say, I'm done, I got there. The more consistent you are with giving the Lord opportunity and moments, the more in which you will hear from Him and the more clearly and quickly you will hear from Him. We need to be consistent, and as I hope you go from this week and through this month and practice this, to do it a few times, to do it a few different ways. Because once again, the first time you ride a bike, you're not really very good. I remember the first time I rode a motorcycle. Never been on one before. I could go down the street, but it was all wobbly like this. And the more I practiced, the better I got at it. And finally, material. We need to come prepared to these moments where we're giving the Lord a quiet opportunity to speak to us and for us to listen. We need to have thought ahead of time. We need to have prayed over something and sought for God to show us something that we needed to hear. Because inspiration is a good thing. Because God constantly created us to learn and to be curious and to explore. Inspiration has brought us so many amazing stories about who God is, through God revealing visions and revealing plans to people. And the more we give God an opportunity to speak through something, the more clearly we can hear Him. And finally, through this month, we're going to have, as we do most months, a corporate opportunity. Through the Easter week, we are going to have a station-based journey prepared. Now, in years past, we've done something called the Journey for Jesus. This is something fairly similar to that. So if you've been to that over the past years, then you'll have at least a vague idea of how this is going to work. But it'll be a station-based exercise where at every one, that material is going to be provided for you to give you a moment and something to inspire you in meeting with the Lord. To give you a moment where the setting and context has already been provided to block out all those distractions. Where someone has prepared something very carefully and very purposefully to help bring a new truth to your understanding. And the Lord will be there ready and waiting for you. So I encourage you, as you check your bulletin next week, a full list of times will be available, and there will be a number of different times, weekdays, evenings, so that each and every person who wants to has that opportunity. And these are really the best opportunities to really dive into this if this is a practice that you've never really done before, because all the hard, heavy lifting has already been done for you. All the material has already been provided, and the Lord is waiting. So I encourage you to make the time. And if it's not in this Easter journey coming up, if it's not in this, to try something simple. Palms up and your palms down. But make sure you do palms down first. So you got to empty your cup before it can be filled. This whole concept of meditation is about seeking God. He has done everything that is needed and sought us in the most life-changing of ways. He has given to us every moment and opportunity where we can meet and hear from Him. And as you seek the Lord in your life, in your devotions, in your prayer, in your worship, we need to be saying two things. We need to be saying and giving two things to the Lord in those moments. We need to say, here I am, and your will be done in my life. Just before we close, we'd just like to once again mention, for those of you who have some time this afternoon, that the ordination service for Pastor Wing is at 3 p.m. And just as I close here in this time, we're also going to just give a blessing for the food downstairs. So let's pray. Father God, we need you. We need you so completely and wholly in our lives. We need you in ways that we don't even recognize. Lord, we need you to show us in our lives the ways in which we can meet you. Help us recognize how we connect best with you. And Lord, teach us new things. And most importantly, because you've been doing that all along, help us learn to listen. Lord, as we head out from this place, we pray your blessing upon each person here, upon the food that is downstairs, and upon Pastor Wing, your servant. For Lord, all things we can learn to do in your name. And we thank you for all that you have done. And Lord, we can't be thankful enough. Inspire us and encourage us to do something new. Because we know you are prepared to meet us. Lord, these things we give you in your name. Amen.